Yeah, a very good evening and welcome to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley back in the hot seat after a couple of weeks away, and thanks very much to Tim Moynihan for covering in what was a busy couple of weeks on the GAA calendar for both men's football, club football, intercounty football, hurling and everything else. So fair play to Tim for covering in over the last couple of weeks. But it's Ivan back with you again, healthy as ever, thank God, and we'll be with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Plenty coming up between now and then. Of course, we'll have the rundown of yesterday's big game between Kerry and Roscommon, all the talking points and everything that were going with it afterwards. We'll also look back at the Kerry ladies. Of course, they started their 2026 campaign with an impressive victory over All-Ireland champions Dublin away from home as well. Of course, our Kerry hurlers, they got off to a 5-star start to their league campaign, beating Derry comfortably enough in Celtic Park on Saturday as well. Great win, and such a long way to travel. And our own producer, Niamh Daly, has won a lovely award at the LGFA Awards that were held in Dublin, plus another couple of Kerry winners that we'll be hearing from a little later on in the programme as well. As ever, if you want to get in touch with the programme, you can text or WhatsApp your views on any of the matches over the weekend or any sporting matters at all. 083 300 3300 is our text or WhatsApp number there. You can give Studio One a call to Niamh, 066 712 3666, or if you've maybe a longer form reason to get in touch with us, you might be far afield, you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. But the Kingdom got their Allianz Football League Division 1 campaign off to a winning start over the Rossies, Roscommon, 218-120. It finished in Fitzgerald Stadium in dramatic circumstances. We were treated to a fantastic last 60 seconds. Liam Brosson, John Kennedy as ever in studio and ready to dissect the action. Lads, you're very welcome, and welcome back from myself after a couple of weeks away from me. Liam, I'll start with you, I suppose. Look, we'll talk about Hooters and everything else as the day goes on, but overall, the first game of the league, especially at home, we often talk about winning your home league matches, crucial to survival, number one in Division 1, and will set you on your way towards a potential league final, but winning your first one at home is always very important.
Yeah, Ivan, and I suppose, look, it's for you could say, for the neutral and for the supporter, it was a very entertaining game as well. Some great scores up and down the field. At the start, even for the couple of days leading up to it, there was a lot of talk about Roscommon and what they'd be going to be missing with the Stokes Town and with the senior. See, they were missing 9 altogether, I think, in total, and probably 9 starters, we heard above in the press box as well. So that was that. So we were wondering in what kind of a team would Roscommon have, but Jesus, they came out of the blocks at a fair rate of knots. No, but at times, I suppose, when we were looking at Kerry, they went 7 points up twice. So you'll be wondering, what happened there? Is it fitness? Is it your first day out to get things up and running again? But you got to give a lot of credit to Roscommon. They came out and they went at us and they made the game very enjoyable.
Yeah, and I think that was the most important thing, John, as well, that, you know, it was a game that Kerry looked like maybe twice, one occasion in the first half, one occasion in the second half, that they probably had just about enough done, but there was no one in Fitzgerald Stadium heading home very lively because Roscommon kept coming back at them.
Yeah, they kept coming back, Ivan, and they showed great, you know, like Liam said, down so many players, look very organised under Mick O'Dowd, you know, good level of fitness, and their full forward line, I suppose, Damon Murta and Darragh Craig, you know, their kicking was unbelievable. Murta got 1-6, Craig got 9 points, and Colin in the other corner got a point, 1-16 from the full forward line. But I think it was refreshing to see them going at it. They didn't park the bus, even when Kerry went ahead, they stayed, they dug in, and you know, they'll be happy with their performance in Fitzgerald Stadium despite losing, because there's quite a contingent to come back in, and it shows that there's quite a reserve of talent in Roscommon. And of course, the finish, we spoke about it off air, a lot of the talk today has been not about the game, 3 or 4 incidents, the rules have come in certainly for a lot of debate, and that's always disappointing after the match, I think, that when you're talking about something outside of the match, outside of the football that's played, but look, We'll dissect that during the programme.
Yeah, I was going to say, we might talk about the performance, because it was a good performance from Kerry for the majority of Liam as well. You're looking at the likes of David Clifford, kind of, we're only chatting off air, that 1-8 is kind of almost a throwaway remark, is almost expected from David Clifford, which is kind of shocking really from our behalf, but another great performance from him. Tomás Kennedy, fantastic display as well, obviously got the winning point, but took that goal very well, didn't he?
Yeah, he seems to be the new kid in the block. I was above in the McGrath Cup game in Clare, and you could see that night above he started full forward. The ball was sticking with him. They seemed to have a kind of a thing as well, I suppose, going back to our great days with the Twin Towers. You know, this diagonal ball heading towards himself or David now, so that we have a target in there. But Tomás, a young fella, and that'll do a world for his confidence as well now yesterday. Like, he stuck that goal well. No, it was a high ball in, caught it inside, didn't have much room to
play. Looked like it was nearly gone out of play, didn't it?
Looked like it was nearly gone out of play. We'll worry about the square ball thing after, but he put it into the back of the net. No, so he's going to be a huge addition inside in the full forward line beside David.
Yeah, it is great, John. You still see these footballers kind of coming through, and you look at even the midfield and Sean O'Brien and Liam Smith, sort of, you know, these kind of players that aren't household names, I suppose, if you want to call it that, but are still able to kind of step up and perform. And, you know, for even Tomás Kennedy to score that point at the end, we'll take the hood out of it. Just even the pressure under that was enormous on a young fella's shoulders, and well able for it.
Oh, it's great to see these lads coming in and getting game time, you know, with the nucleus of your team with them. It's fantastic. And Tomás Kennedy did a great outing. You know, he showed great potential. We saw it last year from his cameo appearances, and you know, we know the ability he has. Saw it in the McGrath Cup, but I think yesterday, you know, this is another step up. The goal was that you'd be expecting David Clifford to get a goal similar to that, you know, the fielding, the turn and the finish,
tight space,
and the balance,
like,
the tight space, man marked, brilliant, kicked a great score as well. But I thought the point of the finish, you know, the ball in for Shawnee, it was one of those, it had to be won, a crowded goal mode, up he went, fielded, the height he went, I suppose, first of all, fielded the ball and, you know, came down. Knew the time was nearly up, fisted her over the bar, and, you know, you could see the joy in everyone's faces. But fantastic. And I suppose a lot of people are talking today, it was a similar leap to Shawnee Welch against Dublin, going back many years, you know, from a standing position. It was excellent.
Yeah.
But it shows the potential he has. He's fitting in really well, and that augurs well for the future.
And the one line now, Ivan, I'd hate to be playing in now, and I think it proved in a lot of games yesterday, especially the Kerry game, is to be in the full back line. Because you look at the Kerry full forward line, was a kick 214 between them out of the 218 and out of 120, you said, John, was a 116 the full forward line. So and you could see teams now are kind of they're looking at the game, and they're probably dissecting what Kerry did last year. The new rules, you need to have your lively forwards inside in that line.
Yeah.
And I think that's a hard spot now for a full back line, because there's so much space in front of them, and the mentality of a good forward is to dip the shoulder and take him on. And you could see the Roscommon boys did that yesterday. No, and they got a lot of joy out of it.
Now you can change it up with David Clifford coming to the edge of the arc when you need a two-pointer as well.
Exactly.
Things can change up so quickly. Another man that we haven't mentioned, kind of that forward line, was Micheál Byrne. Thought he had a fantastic first half. Seemed to take a small bit of a knock towards the end. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, John. He got taken off right towards the end. But another man who, again, kind of the league, you can kind of see a lot of these players maybe put up their hands for one of the forwards jerseys come championship as well.
Yeah, he brings a great energy. His work rate, winning the dirty ball, you know, can kick a score as well. Huge experience, and I suppose when we saw the team, you know, the intent was there, and the in every line you had quality. But Micheál, certainly, we were speaking about it off air, you know, it's the first round of the league. Look who has to come back in, our regulars. Look at the guys that showed up well during the campaigns in for Dingle and Gaeltacht
and
Ballymac, and they'll be getting their chance. It's really fantastic from Jack O'Connor's point of view, but you have to give him a chance, and he did yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, Killian Trent came on and he did quite well as well when he came in, so that's all good. It's confidence, and you know, the victory, I suppose, the home games, get the 2 points. Yeah. it takes the pressure off.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of spoke about that, John, last year as well, when we went through that kind of injury crisis. We were kind of looking at, we were maybe looking at the bench more so, and kind of saying there isn't a huge amount of experience maybe, or you know, this fellow, you know, that kind of way. So you're kind of looking maybe even at the lads in this 15 and the lads who came on, that in the latter stages of the championship anything can happen, anyone can get injured, you know, it can be a bad week in training, whatever else, and these lads will be able to step up. So being able to see them in the opening rounds of the league and the couple of rounds, as say, until the Dingle lads or the Gaelic lads or Bally Mac come back in, that this is their chance to kind of prove themselves, and that I'll be able to do this job for you as well come maybe June or July.
Yeah, that's what it's about, getting the game time in competitive action, and you know, looking at guys in positions that if something happens, as you rightly said, the condensed season, soft tissue injuries, you know, 6 or 8 weeks out, you could be out of a championship campaign. So you have to have options, and I suppose it's one thing having them, but the players that are involved from last year will know that they got their chance when the opportunity came, and it's up to yourself to take the chance.
Yeah.
And certainly Jack did give him the chance, because his hands were tied, he had injuries, but he had the confidence in the boys that came in, and did they do a job? They did. And I think there's more of the same, and Tomás Kennedy certainly is one of those. His influence yesterday, the maturity he showed, and I think the confidence that the lads outside had in him in giving in the high ball, it shows that they know what he has.
He's able to do it in training,
yeah,
I suppose.
Exactly.
Another man who came in yesterday, we obviously see Shane Ryan in the number one, mainly Liam. Shane Murphy came in yesterday. Solid performance, two big saves. I know he got kind of caught for one kick out, trying to find someone. The ref gave the free in for the delayed kick out. But other than that, a good performance from Shane Murphy,
yeah,
as well.
A decent enough, solid performance, like you said. The saves, I suppose, all in all, he probably had five very good saves, and one of them ended up as the goal, but he saved the first initial shot. But we always knew Shane stop shot is his game. Like he's like a cat around inside in the goals. The kickouts, I thought it was very good in the first half. The second half we struggled, whether that was the goalkeeper's fault or around the middle of the field, but we struggled to get our hands on the ball when Roscommon kind of pushed up on us, and even breaking ball and stuff like that. So that's something that I suppose Kerry will work on, and I suppose you have to remember as well, a lot of these guys, they need game time under their belt now again. I know people are kind of saying, sure, why did you play X, Y and Z? But these guys want to get on the field now again, because, look, they're after a good old winter. A lot of them travel a lot of the world with the Sam.
And well deserved. You
know, and well deserved, all Ireland champions. So now they want to get back into the nitty gritty of it. So I do think the likes of Sean Shea, Joe O'Connor and all these guys, Jason Foley, they'll be getting better game by game by game. But as for Shane and goals, he didn't do a whole pile wrong for me. The only thing I found with Kerry yesterday, and myself and John were talking earlier about it, was that when we were bringing the ball out of the fence, I just thought we did very well when we went direct, but we seemed to have that thing of going lateral.
Yeah, the pass too
and
much.
That one pass, exactly. No, too much. There was one instance, and I suppose, look, Liam Smith will learn from it. No, he won. I know, was it a marker free? He won, but instead of looking forward, he looked sideways. No, I spotted it straight away. No, we need to look in. Get the ball, because every time we move the ball forward at pace, we cause trouble. But I just thought yesterday, especially in the second half, that we were kind of going lateral again, as we said, the old Kerry way.
Yeah.
No, and it doesn't suit us.
And when you do go laterally, and you do kind of invite that pressure, and you could see it coming from Roscommon at a couple of occasions, our full back line got put under kind of enormous pressure, be it from maybe a short kick out or a turnover, and we're kind of like that passing across the back line. Kind of see these Roscommon, it just kind of puts the heart in your throat, sort of a thing, of when you see the Roscommon lads kind of closing in, it could be 2-on-1 all of a sudden, right down by your own goal as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, and I suppose a lot of that could be down to fitness as well, and you know, it's your first outing. Mm-hmm. How many times can you break a tattle? I suppose when you're 40 minutes deep into a game, you mightn't have the lungs to do it. You know, so you'll be thinking, hopefully, that'll come over time, but I'd like to see it when we get the ball out of defence, that we're going forward. And Roscommon did that in the second half. Every time they looked that little bit fitter as well, they might have that little bit more done than what we have. But every time Roscommon, they're the guy there, Dara Hennigan, number 12. When he got the ball, he was like a rocket.
Yeah,
he just took off, and it was straight lines. There was no sideways or anything. It was.
And
straight.
When they ran at us, they caused trouble.
They did, yeah.
Yeah,
they caused trouble.
A very well organised side, John, Roscommon, to be fair, for kind of a newly promoted side, whatever else, kind of looking at probably staying in the division is the most important thing for Roscommon. But you'd nearly see these kind of giving Connacht a very good crack again this year. They've been kind of there and thereabouts, but I suppose when you're in a province with Galway and Mayo, you're always going to have, you know, maybe struggle in a semi final or whatnot. But they'll be right there as well this year, won't they?
Yeah, I tell you, they're surprising. a lot of people, ourselves included, yesterday, yeah. being honest with you, when we saw the team sheet and who was missing, you said, look, you'll be winning this one comfortably. But they're very well organised. There's a name down there in the management team, Jason Sherlock. You know, their forwards played with a heads-up football yesterday.
Yeah.
They took the, like Liam said, when they needed to run, they ran. But they varied their game very well. And the potential of their full forward line, in the Smith and the 40, they have potential. You add in the Bridges guys and a few more to come back in, they'll be tough enough, you know. But I agree with Liam. I think they have a lot of work done. They were very sharp. They were probably match fit, you know, that bit fitter than Kerry. And you'd expect that at this time of the year. But, you know, they'll be happy going up the road yesterday evening. Yeah.
The main thing for the likes of Roscommon is, and you know, if you think back to the evening we met him inside in Killarney in the championship, the likes of Damon Murta and Dara Craig, you know, they didn't do what they did yesterday that day. You know, you need your inside forwards, and in these roles, clocking up those kind of scores. So the big thing for Roscommon is the likes of Murta and Craig, they need to be doing what they did yesterday more often.
But Dara Craig was impressive yesterday, wasn't he? He racked up a good few scores.
Dara Craig was 9 points yesterday.
You know, against All-Ireland champions, you'd take that home to Roscommon, wouldn't you?
But you need your inside forward line now doing that at this level. And any team that would have a dangerous inside forward line, with the new rules, they're going to cause a lot of hassle.
Well worthy of their place in Division 1 though, all the same, aren't they?
They are, but Division 1's going to be competitive.
Yeah.
No, there won't be a whole pile between...
Someone has to go down.
You look at it last year, so it'll probably be the same again this year.
Yeah, we were teetering on the edge last year. We'll go through kind of the games again, John, later on, and who we're going and travelling to and everything else, but I'm going to go back to the point I started on, that we often do say that here, that win your home games... Pick up hopefully a win or two maybe on the road or a draw, whatever else, all of a sudden you're in contention for a final place. But you know, sticking in Division 1, as you said, it's so competitive, that is vitally important. And if that score at the end comes back to help us out in that towards the latter end of this division campaign, we'd be fairly happy. But sticking at Division 1 is crucial, but these home matches now that we've coming up are very important as well.
They're very important. Every game is important, I suppose, Ivan, but you're right, the home games are crucial. You look at last year, our last game, we could be in relegation trouble, or we could get to a final depending on the results. That's what happened. You look at the games over the weekend, Donegal and Dublin, you know, the intensity, the pace. Donegal looked really in a good place. Galway and Mayo yesterday as well. You know, Armagh, Monaghan, there's no easy game there, so the home games have to be won. Yeah. And, you know, we have a real test next weekend up in Ballyshannon against Donegal. They seem to have got a few players. Their level of fitness, they're moving really well. And, you know...
Their manager's a bit cranky.
He's a bit cranky. A bit of unfinished business, maybe. But but it's real. What preparation for the championship, like this Division 1? And I think Division 2 is going to be similar. Maybe a level below, but it's still going to be very difficult to come out of it. But I think Division 1, the level... If yesterday's a yardstick to go by, it's going to be one hell of a league in Division 1 this year. Because I think that the Munster Championship... We need a good league, and we probably need to get a league final.
Mm-hmm. The league has become this competition. It is sort of, you know, going back years ago, you kind of thinking the league is kind of it was almost sort of a challenge thing. You kind of got through it to playing kind of these kind of weaker sides, whatever, in the league. But now it's kind of full throttle. You're playing your best players from the start. And, you know, you do go through the teams, Donegal, Galway, Dublin, Monaghan, Mayo, Armagh, and obviously ourselves and Roscommon. You know, that is sort of like, you could see any of those teams up against you in an All-Ireland semi-final or an All-Ireland quarter-final, you know, this early in the season. So you are testing yourself against the best, and it's great to see the league's kind of grown into this competition where, you know, every team is taking it extremely serious and everyone wants to get to the final, because before it was kind of a thing of, you know, maybe going away trying out players, and maybe the early stages it is for Kerry as well, but you know, results are important in this competition now.
They're huge, because I suppose, and especially since the split season as well, because the Munster campaign starts so quick, and then your All-Ireland is in July, so it's important to get high calibre games, and the league does offer that. And I think probably teams are looking at it as well and saying, Kerry as a yardstick, when Kerry win a national league, they always seem to go on and win Sam Maguire, you know. So it is definitely something to look at. But I would say the split season really has made the league a more competitive, because teams are kind of using it now to prepare for the championship. Because when you look at it, I think we were counting, it's a while back now, like Kerry realistically have only about 15 games. That's if you win Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You know, which when you look at, like, for the amount of training that they do for the games, it's unbelievable. But like, if we win the All-Ireland, you'd probably have a max about 15 games.
Yeah.
I suppose when the league was over before, you had such a break between that and the championship.
Ahead, yeah.
It was nearly another pre-season.
You could go 2 or 3 months now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, and the gap between matches was big. Mm-hmm. Players will tell you playing matches what they want. So it's about having the level, and every game is vital. And to avoid the injuries, as you said, there's a lot of ifs in there, but it is about having the squad. And there's no better competition, I think, than the league. It has taken on a new impetus. Division 2 has taken on a different impetus, in that if you finish down at the bottom, you could lose out.
Yeah.
So that's how tight it is. Like, and every game, we saw it yesterday with Cork, 7 points down. What a comeback to win by a point with Sherlock kicking 2 two-pointers.
The one good thing with the leagues, like our own county leagues, Ivan, you find your level.
Yeah,
you're
course,
competitive at your level. Like, I'll always remember there a few years ago, we were going up to a Sigson Cup game up the north. We stopped off in Louth and we met the Louth goalkeeper, and he told us they just loved the league because they were competitive and there was something
chance
there. There was a chance for silverware. Yep. Whereas at that time, against Dublin, Leinster Championship, they knew they weren't. You know, fellas were actually going to Australia when the Championship started, whereas they were staying for the league. So the league, you do find your level, and you, whatever division you are, you're competitive.
Yeah, and I think actually, John, you said it at the top of the stairs there when we came in, that every game was close in the league this weekend. Like, there was no major runaway in the football league, and that just goes to show that you are playing at, you know, teams of your same level. Obviously, the rules have brought it on a good bit, but like, when you are in that division, if you're a Division 4, Division 1, you're playing teams, you know, there might be one or two teams that are very strong, might have got relegated or whatever else, but all in all, you're playing teams that you should be up against, and that's probably where we've seen the advantage of the Tailteann Cup come in as well.
Yeah, I think so. And the leagues, in fairness, I'd agree with Liam, just like here in Kerry, you'll find your level, and certainly the level, you know, the performances, you look at the scores yesterday coming through, how tight they were. You know, they were in the balance right up to the end. A point or two in a lot of games, that's brilliant. And it's great for the spectators and the quality of the football in all the games that we saw. Looking at the snippets last night, some fantastic football.
Yeah, and the crowds that are out in the last weekend of January as well.
Great crowd there yesterday. Well.
Yeah, great crowd. Yeah, in Clare, I think it was just over 6,000, they said, in the attendance. Felt like more, but a great crowd. And I think, you know, people are hungry for football again, aren't they? You know, I think after, especially with Dingle and everything else, if you weren't a Dingle club person or greater to Barry Mack, and you've been following that kind of story, everyone wanted to see football again. So Grace used to get back out. We'll talk football again, lads, after the break. Get your comments and views coming into us. 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can give a call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Now, so you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Plenty of your comments coming in. Hi to all, Kerry. We're lucky to get over the line. David Kifford and Tomás Kennelly, I presume you mean Kennedy, were the two best players. The most seasoned players need to wake up a small bit. They're long enough in the green and gold jersey. They should bring back some of the Gaeltacht. They're off 3 weeks now, and put a bit of football in their legs. Donegal will hammer them next week. That's from Eilish in Tralee. I think Gaeltacht might get another couple of weeks break. It was a long enough campaign as well. Gaelic football is a competitive and physical sport, and handing the ball back to an opponent is somewhat alien to the sport. The punishment for not handing the ball back is somewhat disproportionate to the discretion. I believe that the offending team player with the ball should place the ball on the ground and move away, and not obstruct the opposition taking the free or hand the ball to the referee, as choosing an opposing player may not always be straightforward. Imagine a foul is committed in the half back line where a player is injured. The free is taken from the place of the foul as the clock is stopped for the injured player, whereas a foul in the same position for not handing the ball back has moved 50 metres and possibly resulting in 2 points. Is that fair? Moving the ball forward 50 metres seems excessive, and consideration should be given to allowing only 1 point if the free for this discretion is scored, similar to a 45. In relation to the hooter, play should be allowed to continue until the ball goes out of play for a maximum of 2 minutes called by the hooter. And that's from Sean De Bruyne in Fieries. Liam, probably two to dissect there. I think we were harshly dealt that blow with the handing the ball back yesterday. We've seen Kerry clubs use it to their advantage on their route to their All-Ireland wins as well. Is it one that we need to look at again from not even just a Kerry perspective, but just as a spectacle as a whole, just kind of handing the ball back? And I think the interpretation of the rule is kind of difficult at the moment as well.
It is, Ivan. Look, we've said it here. Jack O'Connor has said it from the word go. It is a rule that's going to cause trouble. And we saw it with the clubs. Now, if the shoe was on the other foot, you'd be very disappointed with the way it turned out. Unfortunately, it worked out in the Kerry club's favour. Yeah. But like Mike Breen was a typical example. And teams are going to look for it. You know? That fella from Roscommon knew what he was doing.
Exactly what he was doing,
and
yeah.
The referee was probably blindsided a small bit, and all he saw was the ball on the ground.
He's trying to get back to his position as well.
Everyone roaring.
To be fair,
so,
yeah,
it's something that you know, they'll have to go back and look at that rule. I'm amazed they didn't do it. When they changed the Hooter rule, I couldn't understand why they couldn't look at that. Just drop the ball and walk away.
Yeah.
Handing the ball, because if I hand you the ball, there's two things that are going to happen. You're going to run into me and make it look as if I'm trying to stop you, or what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So automatically, it's opening a can of worms, and it's hard for the referee as well, because teams are going to take advantage of it.
That's kind of what I'm saying, Liam, there as well, about the interpretation of it. John, it is an awkward one, because I can kind of see why they brought the rule in, because it was kind of a case of, it used to start a bit of handbags, a player would hold on to a ball, he put it behind his back, he'd run away with it for a small bit or whatever. It did kind of delay the game. Now at 50 metres is probably a small bit harsh, but there probably was something needed to be done, maybe on a smaller scale, but it just seems the punishment kind of outweighs the sort of the foul or whatever else you want to call it. It seems like too harsh of a punishment for the thing committed.
It does, Ivan, and as you said, I'd agree, something had to be done. But I think handing in the heat of battle, when there's a foul committed and you're expecting the player to hand the ball, you know, other players are working on this now. I think it was Damien Murta that slapped the ball yesterday, and suddenly it was brought up. Brendan Cawley saw it, the ball on the ground, bring it up. It could have been crucial, the two-pointer. I think maybe putting the ball on the ground, I'd agree with Jack O'Connor. He said it from day one. It's something that definitely needs to be looked at, because it's these can be game changers, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think they changed the Hooter, and we'll talk about it again, but I thought that was adding to the excitement, the Hooter system, because when the Hooter went, if you were a pint up, well, you couldn't, you had to ensure that you weren't going to give the ball away if you were in possession. And if you had possession,
make
you
sure
were a pint down.
Go to play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it added to the excitement. Whereas it's a bit of an anticlimax now when the Hooter goes. It's over.
Yeah.
You could be on the attack and it goes, it's over. But certainly the handing the ball back, those two have to be looked at.
Yeah. Well, it definitely wasn't anticlimactic in Fitzgerald Stadium. The last 60 seconds were incredible. Read the app, it was like a championship game.
I
kind of opted to stay away from the press box yesterday. I went down to the terrace just to be kind of mingling amongst people, and the atmosphere was just electric. And I get what you're saying, John. I think in probably every other game bar the one in Clarny, it did just kind of blow up when the team is in possession or whatever else. But right, we may as well dissect it, because the majority of the comments that are up on my screen here are about the Hooter. My own view is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I didn't think it was broken. I think the Hooter has brought in a fantastic kind of element of that, as John said, that kind of excitement. You know, you think back to the All-Ireland final and Clifford's point before the two-pointer just before half-time. That sort of build-up.
That's why they changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was that David Clifford, and it was because Donegal sat back and Kerry held on to the ball as long as they wanted it, and then we got a score out of it. And the big hoo-ha was about...
But what harm does that cause?
No harm whatsoever.
We're obviously going to be a small bit biased in the Kerry side, but so be it. If the game goes on for an extra 10 minutes, what's it doing? You know, you're playing within the rules.
Yeah, and they didn't look at it closely enough, to be honest, Ivan, because the guy on the clock... No, you go up, like you said, we'll dissect it. Right, there was 5 seconds left when Sean O'Shea kicked that in.
In the ground,
yeah. The TV was different, all right, but it's the clock in the ground that's the one. And from when Sean O'Shea kicked it, it was definitely in the air 4 seconds.
Oh, it hung up there for a long time,
if not longer, right? And then Tomás, an unmerciful kick. So he had to catch it, land and punch. In five seconds, so I had to get from A to B and to C in 5 seconds. You know, so the guy on the clock pressing the button, you know, it's going to cause trouble. If that was an All Ireland final or an All Ireland semi final, and you lose that way, wouldn't you be sore about it?
I'll ask you a question now. Does the referee have his own stopwatch that he stops on his wrist and starts again, or is he completely now relying on the clock that's on the...
No, I think some referees, I'd say they probably would have their own.
But how then would that change when the hooter's going to go off? Because the person who's ready to press the button on the hooter, unless he's talking directly to the ref.
So what I'm seeing now is that the referee is talking to the guy on the clock as well. So the clock is kind of the fourth official.
And okay.
Time on, time off. That's all we hear. I sat above the ladies now Saturday as well.
It's interesting to know this,
Time on, time off. Which are by the time he says time on, the ball's in the it's in the air. It's not, you know, it's different to basketball and stuff like that, where it's quick finger tap and everything's close to you.
Yeah.
But football, it's such a vast ground you have to cover. You know, by the time the referee says time on and it gets all the way to the sideline, time the fella presses the button, it could be another 4 or 5 seconds.
Because I was reading social media, now again, social media is the worst place to be reading things, but I was reading things today saying that, it's a Kerry, operator, the scoreboard in Fitzgerald Stadium, whoever has the buttons for the score, that's always been a Kerry person. It's someone inside in Fitzgerald Stadium, as it would be if it would be a Roscommon person in Hyde Park, as it would be.
Exactly.
A Dublin person in Crow Park. So, like, you're kind of saying, in rugby, and I think this is probably, and I think the same happens in basketball, Liam, but I've often seen in a rugby match, in Highland Cup, whatever else, John, it's the case of the referee will say, the clock in the stadium is wrong, it's 5 seconds ahead of my clock, reset that and we'll start the game. Again, you've got big screens, you're talking, Sky Sports, different probably level, but like, can we really, allow us to be in that situation where we're not at that stage of, technology and big screens, whatever else, in these county grounds, and that, it's open to interpretation? And that's why we're able, if we had an exact definitive answer today, it wouldn't even be up for discussion.
No, I think, Ivan, that you look at the rugby, when the clock goes into red, you know that the ball is in play until it goes out of play.
Yeah, correct.
And that's defined.
Black and white.
It's black and white.
Black and white.
And then you look at the Gaelic football, we knew that when the hooter went, the next time it went out of play, the game was over. If you were a pint down, you had the opportunity to level it or get a two-pointer or get a goal.
Yeah.
And if you were a pint up, you could kick it out over the sideline.
And that's the value of the hooter.
And that's the value of it. And listening to Eamon Fitzmaurice last night, and you have to say, Eamon's part of a committee that did a brilliant job. The rules have changed Gaelic football.
100%.
No question. There's two little tweaks, I think. I think the hand with the ball, and that has been said from day one, and then the hooter. But Jack O'Connell and other managers came out at the end of the year when they said, the handing the ball back was the one. Eamon said last night that it went to Congress and there was a 90-something majority or whatever.
Yeah.
But are the people voting, having come back from the counties, with instructions to vote?
Yeah.
Who voted? That's what it's about. And I think that, as a football man, and you look at any sport, we're all sports people, you don't want anything to be, you want it to be black and white. The hooter should go, the next time it goes out of play, it's over. That's it. And I think handing the ball back has to be looked at. Is it dropping the ball down or whatever? Because players are going, I think players will be coached now to run at the guy that has
the ball.
That's
what you do,
I mean, it's very simple. Yeah. So it's brought up and suddenly it's a kick over score.
Yeah. It almost felt like it was a tactic from Roscommon yesterday when they did win that one. Was it Mike Breen got fouled? He was handing
the ball out next, it was slapped from behind.
But
even the hooter one there, Ivan, that rule, you need technology. We have the technology, but we're not using it. So why do you bring in a rule where you need technology? It's in basketball, it's in VAR and soccer, the whole lot. Mm. We don't have it in the GAA. So we're going to have...
kind of a step ahead of us.
So that point yesterday by Tomás Kennedy will probably open a lot of can of worms with the whole thing, because, you should be able to go to the screen. If that happened in basketball or whatever, they were going to a screen to check it.
Yeah.
To see, did the hooter go? Did he leave the hand before? But yesterday there was nothing. So it's tough on the referee, because the referee can't be watching what's happening, can't be watching the clock, he can't be watching everything. And I suppose it goes back to our point again, where maybe we need a couple of more officials on the field to keep an eye on the whole thing. Because even Mike Breen's thing yesterday, if there was another official there, he probably would have seen that the tap came from behind. You know, that kind of... One referee can't see everything.
What did Mike Breen do wrong? He had the ball out in his hand.
Yeah.
Murta thinking fast, flicked the ball away from him, suddenly the referee.
And roared the referee. Roared,
exactly. But the second the referee turned his back, he has to run whatever it was, 20, 30 yards to get in his position for when the original free was due to be taken. It's impossible. Yeah, like,
and Brendan Cawley is one of the top referees, to be fair to him, no.
Yeah. You know. You have to get in position as well. Like, the referee can't just stay outside there where the ball is or whatever else. So,
well, can this be revisited now? That's a question I was asked today.
Well, they said last night that the FRC were disbanded.
Yeah.
Knows, but can they go back and...
I presume there's some sort of a way of kind of going to like one of these emergency congresses or whatever else you want to call it and kind of say... I, you know, the rules were first brought in on a trial basis last year, and then they kind of, after the league, they tweet a couple of them and everything else, and then as I saw these couple of tweets, there's surely some process of where they can kind of come in and say, lads, that didn't work in the league, the hooter, we have to change back to what it was. There has to be some sort of thing you'd imagine. Now, the other part two of this in our dissection was... Was the ball out of Tomás Kennedy's hands before the hooter went, regardless of when the hooter started or not? There's people playing back in ultra slow motion, waiting for the hooter to go. It was mighty close. It was mighty close. And I can see why Roscommon supporters would have been agreed. We talked to a few of them coming out of Fitzgerald Stadium, and you know, you could see it in them. You know, they felt like they probably should have won the game. They were saying that they were delighted to get a draw, and then they were beaten at the very, very last second. It's very hard. It's very, even to the naked eye, it's very hard to judge.
Hard to judge. And that's why I'm saying, like, we have a rule where we need technology, even though we're not allowed to use the technology. So they might have to revisit that because...
Yeah.
What was more straightforward, I think, is it was a square ball for Tomás Kennedy's goal.
And it wasn't spotted yet.
And you needed no technology for this. You have no
power.
I looked at it last night a number of times. He was over and back to the inline looking to see... And Tomás Kennedy was inside. It was a superb finish. We're not talking about the finish.
Yeah.
He was inside the square. It was a free out. That's what it was.
Yeah.
If the shoe was on the other foot, your phones would be hopping tonight. And rightly so.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be fair and balanced about it. But there's no excuse for this. You have two officials standing a metre away from the player, man inside in the square, it should be free out.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah. Is it almost a case, Liam, and you know, you're not trying to pretend, but with new rules and old rules and black cards and yellow cards, is it nearly a case of where the referee nearly has too much to be worried, like too much to be, like it's literally impossible to think of everything, like, you know, you think about everything you do in just a day life in your own job, like you'll forget one little thing, you'll forget to call this fella, you didn't send that text message, like you go on a referee, there's so much going on, you're the heat of the moment, you're on national television, you're on national radio, everything, there, you know, and everyone is looking for your mistake, and like we said, look, the square ball openly, it was a square ball, it should have been a free out, but is there nearly so much now on just one referee? I know you've got your lines when you're umpires and everything else, but there's one man making the decision and he's the man we're talking about this evening. Is there nearly too much on him now?
It is. There is, yeah. We have said it here with a good bit. And teams, Ivan, are getting bigger, stronger, fitter. And especially now with the new...
It's almost professional sport now, isn't it?
And the new rules now have really speed up the game. You know, they're on about... You hear managers saying that players can't, at the pace of the game, players can't last the whole game. But we're expecting a referee to be out in the middle of the field to make the right decision at the right time and every time. And probably a thousand rules inside in his head. It's very hard. Like,
yeah.
Plus, and I'm saying it with years, we have two linesmen who are official, who are referees, who are top referees as well. Pull one of them off the sideline and give him a half each. With every sport that's out there, nearly have two referees now. Some of them have three referees, mm-hmm. but yet we have probably one of the fastest, bar the hurling, we have one of the fastest sports in the world, and we have one fella, and then we're crucifying the one fella because he makes... Like, we're talking about the three or four bad mistakes that he made yesterday. He probably blew the whistle 100 times, but we're talking about three or four of them.
Yeah.
No, so because they were at major times.
At critical times. Yeah.
No, so it's, and you can see even before we got the score for Shawnee Shea's kick, no, Roscommon could feel aggrieved there, like, because there was probably two fouls on the Roscommon men. But see, in the heat of the moment and the crowd and the everything, no, he left to try to leave a play, and next thing he gave Kerry a free. No, you could see why Roscommon were disappointed and a bit angry leaving that yesterday, because Roscommon are trying to stay in the division.
Beat the All-Ireland champions.
Come away with a point yesterday would be nearly as good as a win. Not a mind coming away with a win. So they would have been very disappointed inside the dressing rooms yesterday after that match.
Yeah, and their supporters were disappointed as well, to be completely honest. Big Roscommon crowd came down actually. They were in Killarney on Saturday night as well. They really kind of embraced the occasion, which is great to see. Hi Ivan, welcome back. They should have left the Hooter the same as it was last year. There was nothing wrong with it. Just imagine if an All-Ireland final finishes like Kerry Roscommon yesterday. I hope John and Breda have dried off. But yeah, we'll be chatting to Breda in the second hour. They got an awful dose. That's from Charles. Thank you for that, Charles. Hi Ivan, what's the story with this Hooter? Will there be an operation for every club game in Kerry for the coming season? I think we're still at that stage of where we're obviously on about technology and everything else, but it is an expensive bit of kit to install as well. It is just in county grounds, so I don't think it'll apply to any club games again this year.
It's in county grounds, and I suppose, look, the referee will have to be mic'd up to someone on the sideline too, so there are many county league matches where it can be mic'd up to someone on the sideline. So you can imagine now, yesterday, the fella, if it were in Cora, the fella pressing the button would be slow at pressing the button.
Yeah, or on Ash Dean.
If there was 5 seconds left, could end up 15 seconds.
Yeah, forget to start it off. Yeah. Lads, we have to go to another break. The comments are flying in 083 300 3300, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Plenty more of your comments to get to. The bonus was the 2 points and the encouraging display by Looney and more so Kennedy. In general, our passing was not the not to the receiver's advantage, meaning we were bottled up and isolated with no outlet option, understandably. This is down to January and lack of ball sharpness work. Alarmingly, Clegg and Casey scored 115 against Foley and Casey respectively. However, my panel question is, at this stage, Shane Murphy will not challenge Shane Ryan. Should Jack have a look at the likes of Broderick for, you're saying the Roscommon game, but I presume that means for Donegal. Well, we are lucky enough that we have a kind of a good glut of goalkeepers in the county, Liam, and to be fair, everyone deserves a chance, and it is the hardest jersey to get the number one, isn't it?
Yeah, and you could see Sean Broderick getting a game, because I see him above in the McGrath Cup match against Clare, and his kickouts, everything were... No, you're stepping up every time you go from McGrath Cup up to National League. So it'll be interesting to see the likes of Sean, will he get? And I think Jack has been fairly fair with goalkeepers in the last number of years. Look, Shane Ryan's our number one. Without a doubt. No, he's our all-star goalkeeper. The jersey is his for up, and it's up to these fellas to put the pressure on him.
Yeah.
But I would no, Sean Broderick, I think Jack will throw him in just in the league just to see what he's like. And look, Shane, like I said at the start, Shane didn't do a whole pile wrong yesterday. But at the same time, you know, it was just the kickouts in the second half worried me a small bit, because they were that a bit slower, and you could blame the midfield, you could blame the guys outside not looking for it as well. Yeah. You can't, not all down to the goalkeeper. But look, our first outing, yeah. So you'll be hoping that as game goes on, things will improve.
Well, it's always important to have kind of two or three. You definitely want three keepers in with your panel for the year, because any given injury you need a sub goalkeeper as well. So the more game time, and again, probably the early stage of the league, probably the time to give it to them. Kerry up by 7 points, lucky to win it. That's one thing we didn't touch on, John, actually, was the at two stages. We think it was either 7-6 or 7-7 for one of the first half, one of the second half. Letting Roscommon right back into it. Again, early days, it's the first game. We won't, criticise too much, but it is something we want to look at, especially when you're playing, you know, the teams that are likely to be more close to the top of the Division 1 table as well, that giving them that much time, kind of time to come back in when a game should technically be dead and buried.
Yeah, we were on top Ivan, and you know, we let them back in, and against better teams you'll be under pressure. But look, it's the first round of the league, let's not forget that. Few little mistakes made, you know, and as we said previously, the two boys in the full forward line, when they got the ball, they were lethal. And you know, they were down in, maybe in marked by Dylan Casey and Jason Foley, but the space they got and the kicking, you know, a couple of 2-pointers in there, but it's an area they look at. I wouldn't get worried about it, really.
No.
It's only the first game of the league, and you learn, you're playing new players, and if they make mistakes, there was fellas isolated yesterday at different times. I think Evan Looney was isolated once or twice. But that comes with games. You know, Liam said about Liam Smith as well. if you don't make mistakes, you won't learn from them. And certainly, you know, there was a lot of positives out of it. Great to see these lads getting games. Great to see lads coming on. And, you know, it's 2 points on the board and you move on. This time last year, we were beaten in the first game.
Yeah. I just felt that when we went up to 7 points the two times of the match, we started to kind of be safe and we were kind of going lateral and just minding the ball more than doing what put us up to 7 points instead of going attacking. We were kind of going lateral, and I think, look, the Kerry management will, I think they'll tick that box for us. There'll be no fear there.
And like, we're back as well, the 2 pointers, Craig Murty kicked 2 and Craig kicked 1, so that's 6 points on 3 shots.
Yeah.
Before a 6 or 7 point lead, but if you get a couple of 2 pointers, you're back in it.
It's kind of like the hurling sort of swing now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thumbs up to the Terrace Talk team. Have a good year. That's from Patrick and Clarny. Thanks a million for that one. Tomás Kennedy was standing on the end line when he jumped to catch the ball for his goal. Is that considered a square ball, Mr. Umpire?
If you're out of play, you can't come from outside in.
So you have to start inside the next one then. Why in the name of God is there still a square ball rule? I don't think any of the new rules have changed to impact a square ball or not, really. It's always kind of been there. I suppose it kind of protects the goalkeeper, small William, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah, there's no one inside. It's like the soccer
corner.
There's not a melee inside in there trying to block the goalkeeper. It gives the goalkeeper a bit of a chance to have a bit of room around him, yeah.
Hi, lads. Would handing the ball to the referee solve the problem? I think we kind of mentioned that. The ref is kind of, once he gives a free, he's on the move.
Yeah, he'd be too far away.
He has to be on.
He delays the match, because if the referee is 20 metres away, you just hand the ball.
Wait for him to go his 20 or 30 metres.
There's nothing wrong with dropping on the ground. And if he doesn't drop on the ground, then move it to 50 metres. But the handling at the back is the one,
Definitely. Give linesman the power to call the referee if a player is giving the ball back and he is impeded from doing so. The free should be rescinded and throw up given. Just my opinion for the panel, Ivan. Noel Broderick listening in Dublin, and he was at the match yesterday as well. Yeah, like, again, you're kind of, it depends again where the linesman is then as well, because he could be after running off. It is an awkward one, this kind of giving the ball back, and it happens behind the referee's back. Hard enough to kind of judge that. Last one for now. Who from Ballymac do the lads think should get a run with Kerry in the league when they're back?
It's a good one, actually, yeah.
You remind me of talking maybe a junior over senior or intermediate, whatever else.
Big step up.
There's a big step up, but they're still, you know, still decent footballers in the side, and young lads as well.
Yeah. Like, you will be looking in time to come, the likes of Jack Jai and McGivigan. Ty Brick, we know he's in with the hurlers.
He's in with the hurlers, yeah.
These guys, Aidan Breen, I suppose, is a bit too old now for and too long in the tooth. Yeah. But they have a blend of young fellas. So you'd be probably looking at the likes of Jack Jai and the 20 set up, you'd imagine. And look, Donald Daly and side. And I think this is where this Kerry Junior competition has been an awful lastus.
Yeah.
Because that's where these guys would be still on the radar. They'd be still playing Kerry Junior football. Mm-hmm. We'd be watching them and see could they make that step up. No, so like I said, there's a big difference between junior club football and playing with the county. But they have the talent. Yeah, there is a couple of young fellas there
I know with the soccer, the under 20 in the League of Ireland, you can play overage players in that. Could be one to look at, maybe a sort of under 23 style junior All Ireland competition that we had before, but players that are over 23 can obviously play as well, maybe 4 or 5 players. Lads, we're down to the last 3 minutes, so very, very quickly. It's off to Donegal next Sunday. It's a mouth watering prospect, given everything else, and second round of the league. No, iron out those couple of mistakes. It's going to be a belter, you'd imagine, in Ballyshannon.
It is, Ivan. I think the win yesterday, or if we didn't come away with the win yesterday, it would be an important match. But I think we have a free shot up here. Mm-hmm. I said it to John earlier. I'd be probably mining David Clifford up here now. No, you'd be training a couple of fellas just to get in instead of David. In other words, I'd be travelling without David if I was going, because I don't think there's any need to be taking David up to Donegal now, especially up to Ballyshannon. Now, let the young fellas up there, let them get a bit of a ground. You'll get a good grounding above Donegal. But it'll be interesting. Donegal are going well, like you could see they've the bit between their teeth.
All in all, though, John, the fixtures have been relatively kind to us this year for the long journeys. Obviously, with Tyrone getting relegated, we've only travelled to Donegal and Armagh, the north. Obviously, Monaghan coming down to us, Mayo, Dublin, and Croke Park. So you know, all the fixtures have been, we've been dealt probably a nicer card than maybe other years, about the way I put it. Not going to Pomeroy or anywhere like that.
Definitely, Ivan, yeah. And you know, we're it's easier anyway. The travelling is the killer for league games. But I think this Donegal game is a mouth-watering clash, in fairness. McGuinness is hurt from losing in All-Ireland final. You can see the body language of the players. You can see the fitness they're in, the shape they're in. Few new guys in there as well, playing well. Like Kerry, they were in total control against Dublin and kind of took their foot off the pedal and allowed Dublin back in. I'd say they allowed Dublin back in more than Dublin upping it. So it'll be an interesting one. And I suppose what team Jack will put out will be interesting. I don't think he'll go with a weakened team. I think he'll be stronger again even.
So you bring David Clifford on the bus?
I bring David, yeah.
give him 10 minutes at the end, maybe. Actually, speaking of David Clifford, and I'm actually sorry to the man, we didn't mention this earlier, the sideline, the point from the sideline. Joe used the word with Billy yesterday, and he said, he's normalises brilliance, I think is the way Joe Manny put it yesterday. Couldn't agree more. Like, that should be the talk today. Like, we've mentioned the last 30 seconds.
I said it to one fella, Ivan. He said, but sure, that's David Clifford. I said a super kick. But sure, that's David Clifford. Yeah. I mean, that's.
We've just come to expect
that
it.
That sums it up, doesn't it?
That kick, and even the two pointer kick, Ivan.
Yeah. And that strikes. Was a pressure one, because Roscommon had just got the two pointer.
Like, if John Kennedy kicked that, he'd get mad at the match. Just that alone, like, never mind.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but when we needed it, and he knew we needed it, he kicked it.
Yeah, he did, of course. Lads, we have to go out for news. We'll keep on to you for the ladies' chat just after news at 7 o'clock, but that one's coming up next on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Rightio, you're welcome back to the second hour of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley, delighted to be back on the airwaves again after a couple of weeks hiatus, but delighted to be here once again on this last Monday in January. We're almost through the first month of the year already. It doesn't belong ticking around. And like that, the start of the league campaign for the men's footballers ended in a victory. It ended in victory for the hurlers as well. We'll be chatting to James Emmerstard a little later on in the programme about that fantastic win up in Derry. But how about the Kerry ladies? They had a fantastic win as well away to Dublin. 2-9 to 9 points the final score. Delighted to still have Liam Brosnan in our company here in our studio in Tralee, and on the phone all the way down in presumably Two Cist is Breda O'Shea. Breda, have you dried out from the match on Saturday yet?
Yeah, sure. We did a short stop in the square to go to Penny's to get new clothes for the journey home. That's no laughing matter. That is actually the genuine truth. You can ask Liam Brosnan there beside you.
That's the truth of the matter. Yeah, it was a fair downpour he had throughout the game. Really was a wet one in difficult conditions in a ground with no stand or whatever else. But he overcame that, as did the Kerry ladies, to put on a great display for you and let you coming home in a good mood anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Look, the new rules were on show, and it was great to see the Kerry ladies seem to have a better gist of them than the Dublin girls. And straight away from the first free kick that Kerry won, the solo and goal was in use. And you could see on a better day with better conditions that some of those moves that they tried could really have resulted in a lot of scores in the other on the scoreboard for them. But it was just, some things were just letting them down the last day. The ball was wet, it was heavy, they dropped it. Some of those passes just didn't make it the last day. But it is interesting to see the space that has been created with just the three up or four up or whichever way you'd like to describe it. But it will be interesting to see as the league progresses how these new rules do embody into the game. But look, a win is a win, and especially out on the road, because they'll have a tough opposition Monday week against Waterford.
Yeah, Liam, as Breda mentioned there, the new rules, first time on show for the ladies' game. What did you make of it all up in Clondalkin?
Yeah, I suppose, Ivan, the main one that stood out for me was the tap and go. I thought Kerry used it to their advantage a lot, especially in the first half against a strong breeze. Every time they were fouled, they were on their feet straight away, or they were or they were handing it to the Kerry player beside him, and they were, and you know, it gave him that 5 or 6 meters to build up a bit of pace. And I suppose in the ladies' match, that's valuable, because with as they say, it's supposed to be a non-contact sport. But if you're if you can build up a bit of space within the 4 or 5 meters when you get a bit, when you have that power ahead of you, it's, you're very hard to stop. And that's what Kerry did in the first half against the strong breeze. You know, especially like St Mary O'Connell there. I thought Cart Lynch as well was doing a lot of that around from the half back line, driving them forward. You know, so that's the one rule I thought that really stood out in the conditions yesterday on Saturday evening.
Yeah, good purple patch for Dublin in the first half as well. Breda was 1-6-6 in favour of the Kingdom, but Dublin were kind of, you know, they were right there and thereabouts with Kerry, despite kind of taking the lead early on.
They were indeed, and look, like, we have to acknowledge as well, this was by no means the Dublin team that won the All-Ireland final last year. They still have a lot of players to come back into the fold. They haven't announced whether they're fully be back or not. Hannah Tyrrell is the only one that has announced full retirement from the game. So they did hit a purple patch, but you have to understand that the conditions, they had an unbelievable strong wind with them in that first half, Dublin did. And like in the second, in the first half, Kerry did have a lot more chances. I think I counted at least 6 wides. They had 2 drop into the keeper's hands. So we probably would have had a lot more on the scoreboard at half time, and even at that, one of the scores wasn't put up until half time because the umpire wasn't sure if it had gone over or not, but the referee gave it when they looked back on it. But so like I wouldn't be too worried about that. Dublin seemed to be that much more off the ball compared to than we were. Is that because they were back later in training? I'm not too sure. They did have a lot of debutants out on the field that day. And plus, like, we will talk about that in a while, the conditions were horrendous because there was stages where I think it was at Shifra and even Iconacore, it was really hard. I know we've given out over the years about seeing the numbers, but it was actually very, very hard to see the numbers on their back with the amount of mud that was on their jerseys.
Yeah, not ideal, really, when these games aren't kind of played inside in your Parnell Parks, your kind of your county grounds, and again, probably a pitch that mightn't have been well enough up for it, especially when there's no stand. A lot of kind of talk from is disappointment from supporters as well. You know, we're in 2026 now, a new campaign. It's your league champions up against your All-Ireland champions, albeit, as you say, good mix up from Dublin. So, you know, almost sort of a disappointing aspect to the whole thing, and the venue letting down, what should have been a cracker.
Yeah, look, and it's nothing against the pitch in Clondalkin. In fairness, they gave the pitch in for it to be used. But it does go back to the LGFA again, and I suppose we are rabbiting on. We're all seeing these advertisements from Lidl about breaking the ceiling and equality, and that we're pushing for amalgamation with the GAA and everything like that. But like, I find it hard to believe that they couldn't find a pitch in Dublin that had a stand and better facilities for the girls. There was kids there brought, we saw them getting on buses afterwards from different clubs around Dublin that were brought, and some of them couldn't see over the railing and the fence. Because it was an enclosed pitch, seemingly that was the rule from the LGFA. It just had to be an enclosed pitch, not a stand, not other facilities like that. But in this day and age, it really wasn't good enough. And even before the game started, we saw one of the groundsmen out with a pitchfork, actually putting holes in the pitch to let the water off it. And he had spoken to us and had said that if the game was another half an hour later, there would be no game played. So what would have happened at that stage, that Kerry had travelled the whole way to Dublin. I do know in December, when Cremon were due to play Muckalee in that All-Ireland final, that unfortunately they lost. There was talks of that game being changed to Abbottstown. So I'm not sure why Abbottstown couldn't have been used on Saturday. It has a stand. It would have been shown off a better game of football for the girls, because it was at stages, especially in that second half, it was actually quite dangerous out on the pitch. And I purposely sat down and rewatched the game last night on Chichi Cahir. And for anyone watching it at home, your vision was blurred constantly by the water on the camera, for starters. starters. Mm-hmm. But even apart from that, there was when the girls slid, they were making actually divots in the ground. One girl, a Dublin forward, slid out towards us on the sideline and her two knees went down into the ground and she actually left the two knee marks in the ground. Later on then it was a substitute for Kerry who came on, Kelly McGrath I think it was, she came on the cornerback position and she went down on a ball and actually you couldn't see the ball or her, you could just see the water coming up off the pitch. Yeah. So for health and safety alone, we're very lucky that nobody came out of there with an injury the last day and stuff like that. But on the whole equality issue of this is, you were talking, All-Ireland champions were out in that field, the National League holders were out in that field, and in this day and age, it really, it isn't good enough with where we're heading. And like speaking to the Chichi Cahar presenters afterwards, Michelle Ryan from Waterford, I asked her opinion. I said, to me, it's one step forward, 10 steps back. And she turned around and she said, do you mean to tell me if Jimmy McGuinness or Jack O'Connor was told they were playing out there that the game would go ahead? And I said, okay, that's the end of that conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd echo what Breida's saying there, Liam. And obviously, like, you know, there was desperate as well for obviously supporters, but even for media point of view, you were kind of down the side of the pitch trying to run commentary, and the same with TG Carr as well, a small bit of scaffolding for them. It's, you know, in this day and age, and again, like I think Breida said it, like, you know, it's 2026. Like, I mean, we should be able to get into your county grounds. I think they're talking about Parnell Park potentially was kept for the Dublin hurling game or whatever else you want to say, but so disappointing to see this still happen now, isn't it?
It was, Ivan, and you know, look, we took no notice of it. We got on with the job and the sideline, but I felt sorry for the parents because and the families that were there to look at their daughters or their nieces or whoever, whatever relation they were to them. You know, they were standing out in the rain and the cold, and I know, and look, we know Dublin were missing, I think they were missing something like 8 All-Stars, you know, so they were missing a lot out, but they're still All-Ireland champions. So if my daughter was togging out with Dublin, yes, I'd be very proud, and I'm sure the parents were very proud. But to be put into a scenario like that, where, like Breida said, a lot of the people couldn't see over the fence, because the fence was quite high actually behind us, you know, you would struggle to see over the fence, and then for the rain and the wind to be hopping off you for 60 minutes, you know, it was very uncomfortable, you know. So yeah, I agree with Breida. I think it's one step forward, 10 steps back after the weekend, because the only thing I would say about it wouldn't happen here in Kerry. No, I'm sure with Nora Feely and all them, as we see when we went to games in Brusna, you know, there's a stand there, obviously the whole lot, but they had the truck there for the media. They had something there. There was just nothing there. There was nothing there for anyone, to be fair. Mm-hmm. And you know, for the All-Ireland champions, the National League holders, it was a big game. You know, two big teams, Kerry and Dublin. No matter if Kerry and Dublin meet in Tiddlywinks, it'll bring a crowd, Ivan.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just the facilities were a big letdown, though, to be fair.
Yeah, and that is disappointing, really, to say, for people who travel up from Kerry to watch their daughter play or their cousin or their whatever else, or even to just support the Kerry ladies. You know, people have to come back down the road too, and we all know the trip to Dublin at the back of our hands, thankfully, for countless trips to Croke Park and everything else. But that is tough to kind of expect, you know, young kids to get back into cars soaking wet from a facility that just isn't up to the standard of an intercounty league game. Be it men's or women's, doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, it's totally like, and look, we've all gone to games and we've all got wet and everything like that. That's how much isn't the issue. Yes, the conditions were poor, but it's just the facility did not fit the standard that was to go play there. You're talking about two senior teams that one was the one All-Ireland champions, the other are the National League holders. The two of them have been in the All-Ireland finals for the last 3 or 4 years. So you're talking the two top ladies teams roughly in the game, and this is the way they're treated. And like it is, like Michelle Ryan alluded to, Donegal wouldn't do it in the men's. If you went even into the hurling, Tipperary, Galway, Kerry, it wouldn't be expected of them. So I, it's still the gripe of why is it expected of the ladies. And like there is the other issue as well. Paul Murphy travelled up with the Kerry ladies as their PRO, and he had to sit in the bus and couldn't actually access the pitch because of his wheelchair. So you see, it's these kind of things as well need to be taken into account. So if you had landed there with a grandparent that was in a wheelchair, or even a child that was in a wheelchair, they could not have watched that game the last day in any comfort, in anything. So if we're trying to sell this game, if we're trying to promote it, and get more people behind the LGFA, they failed the last day, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and not only that, Ivan, like our goalkeeper Marian Bulger had to run behind the goals, run out a gate, run into the trees to retrieve the ball herself. No, at this effort in the county match, it was just mind boggling. It was just mind boggling. Yeah. So,
you wouldn't see a goalkeeper doing that at a club game at home here.
It is disappointing. But look, Breed, I suppose we'll try to stay on the positive note as best we can. Mm-hmm. Look, an opening league game away to the All Ireland champions, despite them being missing whatever else. When those fixture list comes out, that's going to be kind of a bogey game straight away, especially when it's the opener and new rules and everything else. So for Kerry to come out with a 6-point win overall has to be a good tick in Mark Burke's favour going into the rest of this league campaign, that one of the most difficult ones is over and done with, and you've got the points from it.
Yeah, and especially, look, we'll always maintain that, yes, the main focus will be to win your home games, and if you get a few on the road, well and good. So straight away we've won on the road, and that just bodes well for the next day and heading into against Waterford. They will be tough opposition. All of these games are going to be tough opposition. You have to be honest about that. So it's 2 points in the bag. Touch wood, from what we could see, and speaking to Mark Burke afterwards, there didn't seem to be any injuries, which have to wait and see as the week goes on. Was there any niggles picked up or anything like that? But it got some good game time into a lot of the girls. We saw a few of the subs coming in, so it'll be interesting to see now, will we see more reintroduced? Ashley O'Connell was on the sideline the last day, she wasn't togged out. Anna Galvin did come on, will we see her start the next day? We'll just have to wait and see how that transpires. There still is a few more girls that haven't come back in fully into training yet, so it's all building and building for towards championship time. I'm sure Mark Burke won't turn down an opportunity of being in another league final, but as well as that, it is just to maintain that Division 1 status. So it's 2 points in the bag, and it's onwards and upwards to the next game.
Yeah. Liam, I've the 15 in front of me and the panel at 26. Plenty of kind of names that might have been too standout-ish in the past, if yours has dried out since last Saturday, by the way. But it's nice to see different names coming in and different clubs being represented and everything else, and it just goes to show that, you know, the strength of those clubs. You know, we went through the club championships in detail this year, from senior right down to junior C, and the amount of, you know, ladies playing football, it is great to see such a spread across kind of new names and clubs playing for the senior team in Kerry as well.
Yeah, and I suppose like Mark Burke and the management's their big aim this year would be, like Breda said, is to build a panel that's competitive come championship time, and I think this is where it starts. And like I see there, the likes of Ava Doherty there, cornerback, Katie Brosnan, you know, Jane Lynch there, halfback as well. You know, they're new girls into the halfback, into your back line there. They had, you know, they did well for themselves for their first outing in tough conditions. You know, Keeve Evans, usually on the half hour line, was out around the middle of the field. You know, battled away. Leah Boyle there from Scatlin, Rachel Dewire was out playing as a 12. Jaden Lucy looked lively inside.
Well.
And then like the subs that he brought on, the likes of Catherine Ryan there from Glenfles, Kelly McGrath, Julia Curtin, Megan O'Connor, and of course Anna Galvin. Now all these, so he is starting to build. Even from the first outing, all these girls are getting league time into their legs, and it's like we said, it's no more difference to the men's. There's a big step up from club to inter-county, and I think every minute that they get on the field will add to them come championship time.
Yeah, I'm writing that Breed as well. Kind of a good mix of youth and experience from Mark Burke. It's always great to see.
Yeah, definitely. And like, it is interesting to see the likes of, say, Megan O'Connor back in there now, and Michaela Mulvihill. I saw her at championship, so it just goes to show the standard of our championship at junior, at intermediate and senior level in the county, that it gets to they get to see these players and go, oh, hang on a second, we'll try them, we'll give them a shot. And like Michaela Mulvihill, she came on there towards the end of the game and she didn't do anything wrong. Like, so it's all just experience, and having the likes of Mary O'Connell there and Sheaf O'Shea just to guide them and help them along. Like, Mary had a Trojan game the last day, and the ball that she carried up and down the field, and I think that she is the first LGFA girl to call a mark, so in the middle of the field, so she has that to her ring to her bow as
no,
well.
I'll never take that off her.
Yeah, no, but it's to see more of that. And you see, that's what we were saying the last day, even in commentary. And it is a bit like the men's, where we are very lucky with the likes of Mary at midfield. It is that possession from your own kick out that sets you up, especially with the space created inside, with only 12 or 3 being back like and stuff like that. So it's those things that Kerry seemed to be very much up in tune with the new rules. So it will be interesting to see them push on. I know there is going to be a review, I think, after the third league game to see if any of them need to be changed or tweaked. We saw enough arguments about yesterday's game as to what should have
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I was asked a question this morning by my son that if he hadn't scored, could he have called a mark?
So that was another one that was being talked about as well.
Yeah, very good point, yeah.
Yeah.
And what I like
I was there going, hang on a second, I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah, even the ladies, the last out, and I like the rule as well, the persistent fouling rule. I think that's going to be a good one come championship, because I think we have suffered, Breda, in the hands of a couple of teams down through the years with that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, to know so that.
I think a bit like the men's, that was always kind of there, but it wasn't really officially written into the rules. So yeah. It's officially been written into the rules now that the third ticking per se on a non-technical foul. So if you read the actual rule, that's what it is, and then it goes down as persistent fouling, and it is a yellow card and 10 minutes in the sin bin. So that will be very, very interesting, especially with the opened up space. And look, that will work. It could work against us as well, because we will have to go back into, in one sense, defending one-on-one with the space created inside, instead of, like, as we saw with the ladies in the last couple of years, we had started to go down the route that the men's had gone down in guarding the D and protecting the D. So there will be a lot of cases where you will be one-on-one defending. So that can work for us, for our forwards, but it can also work against us for our defence. So it's just to tighten up on those things. And as we alluded to during commentary on Saturday, some of the new rules around the tackle and around the bodily contact very much depends on the ref that you have on the day and their interpretation of what's happening in front of them. So as these league games go on, the girls and the management will get to know what ref lets what away, what ref will pull on certain things, and even watching other games, they'll see that. So that will all bode, I think, for a very, very fast game come the championship time. And then on that score, that goes back to building that bench that we saw that Mark Burke is trying to do at the moment, in that you will need legs in the last 10-15 minutes of that game to see out championship games.
Yeah, most definitely, Breda. Liam, I suppose the next up then is Waterford at home this day next week. The ladies have kind of utilised the bank holiday Monday, and I've seen a lot of kind of talk on online for the men's game that there should have been a hurling game or a football game on Friday night to open up the league campaign. But again, the bank holiday Monday is kind of unexplored territory. People with the kids at home and low, it's kind of are they off school today, or what are we going to do with them for the day? Great opportunity to get in, 3:45, lovely little time, middle of the day on the bank holiday Monday inside Nastack Park. I think it's a great move.
It is a very good move, because we're all kind of looking for something to do on a bank holiday Monday instead of lying on the couch. But so you'd be hoping that the Kerry public will get out and support the girls in their second home match. Going to be a big game, because I was impressed with Waterford last year. I think they're lively, and I think the new rules, I think, will suit the likes of Waterford at the way they were trying to play the game last year. So it will be, I think it'll be a humdinger now on the bank holiday Monday, Kerry and Waterford. And I think Mark Burke and the lads will be looking forward to it as well, because all these games will bring something different, and they'll see where they are with their training and where they are with their fitness. So you'd be hoping. But yes, I would be hoping that Kerry would the Kerry supporters would come out, because we're in Donegal Sunday with the men, so this is a home game for the ladies, so the home supporters should be able to come out.
Yeah, absolutely, and almost a double header, the hurlers inside in Ostag Park on Sunday at 2 o'clock as well, so a good weekend if you're not making the journey to Donegal, to maybe take in the hurlers on Sunday and the ladies on Monday. But just on that, Breda, look, obviously we know Waterford and how they probably should have won Munster last year, to be totally honest about it, so another good tough test, and as I said, hopefully in front of a good Kerry crowd and potentially a good young Kerry crowd on a bank holiday Monday as well.
Yeah, look, it's great, and don't be telling the men to put on a game where the ladies have it now the last couple of years. We'll hold the Bank Holiday Monday, thank you very much. But no, yes, Waterford, look, Waterford have always been tough for Kerry. Even if you go back 5-6 years ago when Waterford weren't as strong as they are now, Waterford are, they're just that type of a team. Their physicality has always been there, and they have a lot of nice footballers that have come along, especially those Murray triplets. I think one of them might be on the way to Australia, but I don't think she's just gone just yet. They had an impressive victory over Armagh, and that was away for them as well, 2-14 to 8 points on Sunday, yesterday there. So they look like they are flying it. Yes, technically, sure, they have won the Munster final against us, probably, but we have been on the other side of those games where we were the better team and didn't come out on top. Mm. But Waterford, they are a coming team if they can keep that gang of girls that they have together. I know they're losing one who'd be their main player. I think it's Aoife Murray, the midfielder. I think she might be going to Australia out to the Aussie rules. But no, they will give us a tough game. But what I would do is, and I know Kerry LGFA do it pretty good, that they put out to all the clubs, bring in your under-12s, bring in your under-14s, let them see what they can do. And that's what breaking the glass ceiling is all about. It's if they can see it, then they can go on and be it. So definitely for Bank Holiday Monday, and plus there will be a stand and you will be in out of the rain.
We can guarantee you cover.
Now, well, it depends on which way the wind is blown in, though. In fairness now, we can't guarantee all that. But no, just it's more to get behind the girls again and give them that extra bit of a push over the edge. I know there's a lot of the, let's say, they'd hate me calling them the elderly girls, the more experienced girls in the team. They actually love playing in Austin Stack Park.
Yeah.
They do deem it nearly their home pitch now at this stage. And that goes back to those victories a couple of years ago against Meath, and especially that one, the noise that night from the crowd, it really got the girls over the line there about 3-4 years ago. So yeah, it would be to get all the youngsters out and to give the girls a push on Monday week.
Absolutely, and sure, you can sit into your car then and listen to Terrace Talk and hear us all review it on your way home as well next Monday night. Breda, thanks very much for joining us, and as I said, hopefully have you back on next Monday night to look back on this one, and to yourself, Liam, and John, who's waited patiently listening in about the ladies football as well. Thanks, Ed, for popping in. After this quick break, we'll be moving to the small ball and our hurlers, who had a fantastic win away to Derry to open up their Division 2 campaign. That's after the break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Hi, welcome back to Terrace Talk. Just before we go to the hurling, meant to mention a little earlier on, great to see that the Sigerson and Fitzgibbon Cup finals will both be played in Croke Park next month. The last Sigerson final to be played at DJHQ was 1985. The last Fitzgibbon a year later in 86. The Sigerson, which is the football, will take place on Wednesday the 11th of February with the hurling Fitzgibbon final 2 days later on the Friday night. Both games throwing in at 7:35. So good news for the college teams there. A great chance for those players to get the chance to run out in Croke Park. But hopefully Kerry hurlers will have a chance to run out in Croke Park a little later on this year. They've started their 2020 six campaign. Of course, they started in the Munster Senior League, and they did very, very well against Tipperary in their second game there, falling just short in the end. But into Division 2 now, where they're playing teams of the same calibre, and really that's quite probably an overstatement in this regard, because Kerry went to Derry, the names rhyme, but two farthest points away from each other in the country. 5-23 to 12 point victory the Kingdom enjoyed away to Derry, which is something we don't say too often, so great to see a five-star performance from the Kingdom. As ever, Rashad Farran is on the line. We're hoping to chat to James as well. Rashad, I'm going to start with you first while we're waiting for James to pick up the phone. But look, Rashad, that's a great start to the league. Again, that Derry one, we chatted to the lads about going to the likes of Donegal for the footballers and Dublin for the ladies. But to go away to Derry, a long spin up there, and to come up with such an impressive victory is a great start.
Yeah, they left at about 11 o'clock there on Friday, and sure they didn't get to home at about midnight on Saturday night. So it was a long journey, all right, but well worth it. I suppose going up, we were fairly confident that because of the new players coming back, they were going to add to the team and strengthen the team. And on the other hand, then I suppose Derry were a bit like us. I mean, we lost 20 players over 2 years, and we saw the effect that had with regard to Derry. Then, of course, they lost a good few players from last year's Chris Deering team. And so they were, you know, they're in transition as well. So, you know, losing that many players was going to affect them greatly. So, but look, Kerry went up, and I suppose they had 1-1 on the board within 50 seconds, and should they have 3 goals scored by within the first 6 minutes. So, yeah, it was a fantastic performance, and Kerry really, you know, it was absolutely fantastic from start to finish, and then they never let up from start to finish. And when you score 5-23, sure, it's that's fantastic scoring.
Yeah, that is good scoring, James. In a weekend where the ball was probably a bit sticky, you know, still early January, the pitches, although in not too bad of a nick, but still heavy, the rain, the wet grass and everything else, so the setter doesn't fly as easy. But to score 5-23 in those conditions, that's a good omen for what we might see to come in the summer months when we're hopefully heading for a Chris Deering final.
Yeah, and you saw that the forwards, I mean, Daniel Casey scored, and obviously O'Sheen scored, and we had Colin Welch getting on the board as well, and all the forwards played well, in all fairness. Just a really, really strong performance right across the board. So very, very positive performance. And Westmeath obviously will be a different article next Sunday. I suppose Laois and Westmeath would be the favourites to top Division 2, but you know, they're coming to Tralee next Sunday, and hopefully we'll have a good crowd now. I would encourage all the hurling people to get out to Austin Stack Park next Sunday, 2:00, because the boys need our support. And, you know, give it a good rattle. Laois and Westmeath would be above us, and they beat us well last year, and it sent us down to the Chris Deering. But that said, this is a new look Kerry team, and I'm hopeful of a good performance on Sunday.
Yeah, of course, Ronan Walsh, 2-8, one of the goals from the penalty and 4 frees, but good to see him firing on all cylinders as well this early in the year.
Ronan Walsh is a fantastic hurler, whether you put him wing back or wing forward or whatever, he's just a natural hurler, and others came on, Jordan came on as well, played really well. So, you know, it was a really, really strong performance across the board, and it all goes well for the future. But as I say, the extra few players coming back, you know, the likes of Jason and those, you know, that really strengthen the team. And looking forward to it. Looking forward to the league, and looking forward to Chris Deering then.
Yeah, absolutely. I think nearly a man of the match performance for a man who left in 5 goals, but he made some stunning saves, Owen Mulholland, the Derry keeper. I know he's, as I said, he conceded 5, but it sounded like it could have been a lot more. It was only, obviously, didn't travel to Derry. I was listening to the game with Andrew and Mike, but he made some spectacular saves throughout both the first half and second half. It could have been a lot more. And as you said, look, suppose Derry have, I think it's they're short 12 players that were in the Chris Deering final last year to the start of this year, and again it probably takes a while to gel, but that doesn't kind of, you know, take down Kerry's achievement of putting that big a score up away from home, especially as you mentioned, you know, it's so far away in Derry.
Oh no, absolutely not. And sure, often we've been in the same boat last year where we've said we've lost 50 players, and when we were well beaten, I suppose, by Laois and by Westmeath, you know, that was the reason for it, a new team. And so now it's, I suppose, Derry are suffering that now. But that said, you know, Kerry went up there, Kerry rebuilding themselves. They went up there and they had a job to do, and they kept going to the very end, and that was very positive.
Yeah. We saw, obviously, Meath beat London by around about 10 points in Trim. It was a cricket score then for Laois yesterday, trying to get the score up in front of me here, just won't pop up.
I think it was 6-23-12.
Yeah, you're dead right. 6-23-12 away from home to Mayo as well. There is a sort of kind of a straight line across this league campaign, and look, Kerry were beaten by Donegal last year, so you can't write off anything that's done, but you're kind of looking at Kerry, Westmeath, Laois as kind of being the three teams vying for two positions, and you imagine the rest of them are probably looking about avoiding relegation. Maybe Meath might give it some bit of a run, but are Mayo maybe a touch small bit out of their depth?
But that happens, you know, when you come up to Division 2 or you come up to any division. I suppose when we were promoted to Division 1 as well, you know, we found it tough. A number of years ago we played Wexford, we had a tough day at the office that day, I remember. Well, that happens when you come up. But you have to go up and you have to play against the big fellas and test yourself, and that's how you get better. You might have a few bad days, but then you raise your game by playing the bigger teams, and that's how you develop. But I would agree. Yes, I would see the top three has been Leash, Westmeath, and Kerry. But Leash and Westmeath obviously would be the favourites there. But who knows, this new look Kerry team? They're in good shape, as we saw against Tipperary as well. I know the conditions weren't great, but they really rattled in Tipperary, like in late at half time, and really tore into them. And it was a good physical battle against Tipperary, and that was very positive that day, very positive. So look, going forward now, we'll take one game at a time, and as I say, hopefully we'll have a good turnout, a good level of support at Austin Stack Park now on Sunday.
Yeah, look, obviously that Waterford game in Dungarvan hopefully was just a bit of a blip, because considering the way they performed against Tipperary and now Derry, looks like the upward trajectory. So as you said, hopefully a big crowd there on Sunday, especially with the Kerry footballers away to Donegal as well. It's a good opportunity for people maybe to get into town to support the Kerry hurlers if you're not making the trip to Ballyshannon. Look, Leash, Kerry, Westmeath looking likely to be those three. So this game against Westmeath, especially at home, Restart, is massive, because look, by the time the end of it comes around, we'll probably be able to say it better, but it's looking likely that, if you, it kind of gives you a free pass against the game against Leash, maybe if you've already beaten Westmeath at home. So a very crucial game in the opening stages. The main thing I'd say is probably Westmeath obviously had this weekend off, so they've had sort of a bye weekend, if you want to call it that, very early. Will the 70 minutes for Kerry stand to them a bit more, or will Westmeath be feeling a bit fresher coming into Sunday? It's always hard to judge it.
I think that the one thing, I suppose we know what Westmeath are doing, but with regard to Kerry, I think that the result against Derry will give them a lift. When you score 5-23, it's going to give you a lift. And come back then down to Austin Stack Park, hopefully a good crowd there, and give it a good lash. Because, as I said, they played Tip down there and they gave it a good lash, and it was a good fiery encounter, shall we say. and that was good to see. But, it's up against Westmeath now. Last year at Austin Stack Park, it was a bad day at the office for that human team. But slightly stronger team this year now, and hopefully we'll give it a good lash on Sunday. But a strong performance on Sunday against Westmeath would be vital, but obviously as well, to get a result would be massive as well, because, as I said, Leash and Westmeath will be the red hot favourites, and they both, they beat Kerry well last year, but we have a new look Kerry team, and hopefully Kerry can give it a good rattle on Sunday.
Absolutely. I suppose a quick look just to Division 1, Restart, before we let you go. I suppose the opener was kind of whacked with weather, really, wasn't it? Tipperary Galway had this kind of billing on Saturday night, the opening round of the Hurling League. We thought we were going to be in for a fantastic spectacle. It was a spectacle nearly for all the wrong reasons with the amount of rain that was falling, but nonetheless, still nice to see kind of, your Division 1, you're obviously Kerry in Division 2, but nice to see your kind of the big teams off playing each other and kind of a right fiery start to the league season.
Yeah, I was impressed actually with Galway. I thought they really put it up to Tip, and of course Tip had been well tested by Kerry, so obviously that's, they were favours to win that game, do you know what I mean? But I think that bad conditions, and I thought that Galway really gave it a good lash, but Tip just some beautiful scores. You'd feel for Antrim against Wexford.
Yeah, you would.
I thought they had it. It was a bit harsh towards the end, but sure, that's the way it goes. And you feel for them, because a result for Antrim down there would be massive. But yeah, and then Cork and Waterford yesterday was disappointing. Do you know what I mean? Cork, especially when they built up a massive score. Very disappointing, but they have the better gunner guys to come back, I suppose, so we have to take that into account as well.
Absolutely. Richard, thanks a million for all that. Of course, Kerry taking on Westmeath, 2:00 in Aztec Park Sunday, and like that, I'm looking forward to getting to the game myself, but to anyone else out there who might be on the fence, why not go along and support the hurlers in what will be potentially a crucial game on the way to hopefully getting promotion to that Division 1B. But Richard, thanks a million, and we'll chat to you again next week after that game.
Mighty Gormagot, Ivan.
Yeah, pleasure. Gormagot, Rashad of Rome. We'll take a break and we're back to the LGFA Awards, where the woman sitting in the studio to my right picked up a lovely little award on Saturday night in Dublin. We'll have that after this quick break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Netherlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hardy with you for the next 8 minutes or so. Delighted now to talk to two women from the county who were recipients of the awards, the LGFA 2025 National Volunteer of the Year Awards. These took place in Croke Park on Friday last. The winners were announced on the 13th, but headed up to Croke Park, of course, on Friday night. A big gala awards dinner. I've been heard all about it from my producer here, Niamh Daly. And also on the line is another Kerry winner of an award. She won the award for club coach. That's Fiona Nelligan Maguire. Fiona, just because you're on the phone, we might start with you first before I leave Niamh, have a couple of minutes on Terrace Talk. She's always looking in the window into studio too, and I always tend to give her a couple of minutes. But we'll start with you, Fiona. Massive congratulations, first and foremost. You must have had a good night Friday evening, did you?
Thanks a million, Ivan. It was a lovely night. Now, in fairness, I suppose, to acknowledge all the volunteers around the country for all the hard work that they put in.
Yeah, absolutely. It is nice to get that kind of recognition. I know you don't do it for that, but, you know, when the time comes and you are kind of picked up and nominated and you know, get the award, it is kind of a nice thing to have in your back pocket and kind of maybe pushes you on to keep going for another couple of years.
Absolutely, yeah. Like you said, you know, when you get involved with any volunteering, you're not in it for awards, and especially at underage level, I suppose you're just in it to give the girls a love of the game and to keep going. But like that, I suppose it is a sense of encouragement, you know, it gives you that boost to stay involved and keep putting the shoulder to the wheel with them.
Absolutely. I suppose your club is Curro and you won the club coach award for the volunteer of the year. So I suppose what kind of goes into, I suppose, day to day with your coaching? Obviously it's underage girls out in Curro, so it's a nice little one to be involved in, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose we got involved a few years ago. I can't take all the credit, I suppose. My mum got me involved in coaching and we're coaching together ever since. So yeah, I suppose we started with the girls when they were just starting out at about under 10, and my sister's on the team, so we've kept going with them. So it's a lovely little community, and I suppose you're just, you know, you're trying to get the girls a love of the game for football and keep playing ladies football for as long as we can, and to grow in confidence both on and off the field. And if they're enjoying it, they might stay involved that bit longer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that is important, isn't it? I think, look, we were chatting to Breda and Liam, who covered the ladies' win over Dublin, of course, on Saturday for us a little earlier on. And they kind of mentioned, you know, that kind of blend of youth and experience now in the Kerry ladies' side. It is important to keep girls involved in sport, especially as they kind of transition from, you know, primary school into secondary school, and then that kind of move on to college and university and everything else, you know, to kind of keep them involved. And it does take dedicated volunteers like yourself and your mom as well to kind of keep them playing in the clubs and you know, to keep that kind of LGFA spirit flying.
Absolutely. You know, you're like, you'd urge anyone to get involved with volunteering. Any small bit that they can give back has a huge impact, and I suppose we're very lucky to have the Kerry ladies so successful, for all the underage girls to look up to. It's great to have them.
And I suppose, Fiona, just from your own point of view, there might be people listening here that might want to get involved, you know, with their local club. I'm sure you'd recommend it for anyone. It's a nice way to spend an evening. I know it might be raining some evenings and the balls and dragging them out of containers and everything else, but all worthwhile in the end. And as I said, it's all kind of for the betterment of the younger generation as well around the place.
Absolutely. You're future-proofing the club, really, I suppose. And trying to keep it going for as long as it can. And I suppose football is like a family. It gives us great days out. So if you put back into it, it'll continue giving us great days out.
Yeah.
Bring the community together. You know, it's the heartbeat, really.
Yeah, it most definitely is. And that's why the GAA, I think, is so strong that we can kind of get it into our local communities. Look, Fiona, massive congratulations again. And I'm sure you'll have cleared off a space in your mantelpiece at this stage for your award. But well done again.
That's great. Thanks a million.
No, absolute pleasure. And the girl sitting beside me, PR Volunteer of the Year. I told you writing all those Kerry Ladies songs would pay off in the end, Niamh. Look, massive congratulations again, Niamh. Look, I think it's well known on this station and everywhere else how much time you put into promoting LGFA, and oftentimes I might say we'll start with something and you say, no, the ladies will start Terrace Talk tonight. Joe, it's great, but you know, you're doing a huge grow for it, and that kind of, again, you don't kind of ask for the recognition, but when it does come like this, it is nice to get it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, do you know, Radio Kerry is brilliant for promoting Kerry Ladies. Like, David Corky goes to the matches, he takes pictures. We broadcast the games live. We do it on Terrace Talk yourself. It's great. But I suppose I wanted to just do that little bit extra to get people to games and to generate the support for these girls, because they do put in the same graft as the men at the end of the day, and I really felt like they truly deserved the crowds to gather to go to these matches. And I think Breda alluded to there a minute ago that they kind of now, the Kerry Ladies see Austin Sack Park as maybe their home pitch, and that went back to that very first video that I made with Cait Lynch, the legend, and she didn't hesitate. And yeah, the crowd that night was absolutely amazing. And on Radio Kerry Sport, I think it was like maybe a day later or something, Ciara Murphy was on for an interview, and she just went on to say that the crowd that night, it was just like having that extra player that got them over the line. Mm-hmm. So that support is just so, like, it's so important. And it also for young people, because young girls, young boys as well, they need role models. And if they don't see it, like, it's hard for them to, like, maybe, I don't know, to imagine themselves. But going to these games, seeing these girls, and even people, adults going to these games who not necessarily would have went to Kerry ladies football games before, leaving going, okay, these games are unreal. Do you know what I mean? That was what it was all about. And then you saw it when they won in 2024, when the Glebe car park. I mean, that was amazing, the turnout they got. But they deserved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just they're putting in the same graft and everything else that does go in. And that PR is very important. And I'm sure you won't let up just because you've just award now. You're not going to be letting us off the hook with anything else.
I did say, though, that when Louise Ni Mhuirteach called it a day, I was like, Niamh, you're going to have to call it a day and stop singing songs at some stage. But sure, look, we made it to the quarterfinal then last year, and Cait was on for it again. So we'll see how we go this year.
Yeah, but it is nice to be able to draw up that support. As you mentioned, kind of, you know, we do have that voice here in Radio Kerry that we can kind of, you know, drum up that support and get them going to the matches. And as I said, look, probably this Monday is a great opportunity to go, so you can still, you won't miss Terrace Talk if you go to the game 3:45 on Monday. But it is important from the very start of the year, Niamh, isn't it, for people to get out and support the Kerry ladies?
100%. It's so important. And like that game last year, the Munster final, that was a tough one between Waterford and Kerry. So like, knowing that going into the game, you know it's going to be a cracker of a game. And judging by the performance that they put in at the weekend in the wind and rain, and they still played their hearts out, and it was incredible. I mean, they're amazing. They're it's just worth going to see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they are. They're often crackers of games as well, which is brilliant. So anyone around next Monday, why not pop along to Ostack Park? I'll do my PR work for you as well, Niamh. Look, massive congratulations again. A lovely piece to have on the mantelpiece. You just brought it in there. It's a ton weight, in fairness. A lovely little award. So massive congratulations to you, Niamh, and Fiona as well. And thanks for taking the time out of your busy day. You've had a long day in here today, so we'll let you go home now in the next 45 seconds or so. Thanks to Liam and John, of course, who are looking back on the game against Roscommon, and Breda, who joined us for the chat as well on the Kerry ladies, and of course to Jay, or to Restart. Fortunately, couldn't get through to James this evening. We'll get him next week when Kerry are at home. Of course, Kerry Hurlers at home next Sunday at 2 o'clock against Westmeath. As I mentioned, the Kerry ladies against Waterford on Monday afternoon, and of course Kerry footballers away to Donegal on Sunday. Thanks a million, as I said, to Niamh for producing the programme. Mary Comroy is up next. I can't say how great it was to be back in this seat again tonight, and looking forward to many more Monday nights to come as well. But until next Monday night, it's Slán go fóill.